Scripture says very plainly that the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the Lord, I change not. It's a good song. Desire that you'd pray for us and with us as we share with you the Word of God. Let us turn to John, the 17th chapter. I want to start reading at the 11th verse and then drop down, read the 11th verse, and then we'll drop down to the 22nd verse. Alright, now I'm no more in the world.
But
these are in the world.
And I come to thee.
Holy Father,
keep
through thine own name
those
whom thou hast given me,
that
they may be one as we are.
While
I was with them in the world,
I kept them in thy name.
Those that thou gavest me,
I have kept.
None of them lost,
but the son of perdition,
that the Scripture might be fulfilled. Now let's drop down to the 22nd verse. Well, let's say the 20th verse. Start at the 20th verse.
Neither pray I for these alone.
I don't pray for them alone.
But for them also which shall believe
on me
through their words.
That they all may be one.
As thou, Father,
art in me.
And I in thee.
That they also may be one in us.
That
the world may believe
that
thou hast sent me.
And
the glory which thou gavest me,
I have given them,
that they may be one, even as we are. Now, I want, at the beginning of this chapter, it says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. So, he's praying to the Father. This is a prayer that the Lord has, and the concern that he has, and what we want to talk about today, is that they all may be one. That's what the Lord gave to me. And it's been ringing in my heart for a good portion of time, that they all may be one. So Jesus is praying to the Father and saying to the Father, Lord, I'm praying not just for my disciples here that I have kept, that I have been with these last 3.5 years, Lord. I'm not just praying for them. I'm praying for those people down through the centuries of time, down to the annals of time, that will believe because of what they said. And what I'm concerned about, Father, is that they all may be one. I know the devil. I know something about it, is what the Lord is saying to the Father. I know what the enemy is going to do. He's going to get in and he's going to try to scatter them. But Lord, I want to pray now that they be one. And I want us to look at that for a moment, that the Lord is concerned about you and I being in unity, the unity of the believers. It is of great importance. And as I look at the things in the world, it seems like the enemy is trying to destroy the unity of the believers. It seems like the enemy is fighting very hard against anything that represents Jesus Christ and the church. One of the things that we have learned is, we go over into let's just turn to that for a moment. Ephesians, the 5th chapter. I want to read it, talking about the Christ and the church. Ephesians 5, let's start at about 20. Read that.
Give me thanks always for all things.
Unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Submitting
yourselves one to another in the fear of God.
Wives,
submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body.
Therefore,
as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, I believe this, and I believe that a lot of times people want to show, and of course you go through marital counseling and whatnot to give marital counseling to different people. And a lot of folks want to say, well, the wife is supposed to submit themselves to the husband. That's absolutely true. But the Scripture also says submitting yourselves one to another. So there are times that the husband submits to the wife. There are things that he needs to listen to her on because the Lord has put them both in as a unit. And one of the things I'll say to the husbands, because I don't want to get, my goal is not to down and belittle anybody, but one of the things I want to say to us is if we are in the place that the Lord wants us to be in, each one of us, if the husband is in the place and loving the wife, even as Christ also loved the church, it's easy for her to submit to him. It's not as difficult, let's put it that way. It's not as difficult for her to submit to him. So one of the things I want to present to you is brings out here in this passage of Scripture that the Christ and the church is represented in a husband and a wife, a relationship. And what is that relationship? What you see is them being one, a home life, that they're not fighting and pulling against one another. They're one. They're striving together. They're pulling together to make whatever it is that they desire in that home to make it happen. Pray for us. Make it happen. So one of the things that we find in our generation now, one of the things that the enemy is fighting so hard on is marriages. Why? Because the Lord has prayed that they be one. It's representing Christ and the church. So let me tell you, those of us that are in marriages where the Lord has blessed us with a companion, you fight for your companion. You fight for your marriage. You fight. You do whatever you have to do. Lord, help me to do my part to make us one. All right? So this is a prayer to the Lord. He said that they all may be one, even as we are. Now I want us to go to Romans, the 12th chapter. And I want to begin reading at the 3rd verse. Pray for us. For I say, to the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. All right? Having then gifts differing according to the grace given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith. All right, so it says here, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. So it says here, the first part of that we read here, it says, for us, not for every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. You know, that's a very important thing in us being one, even in the church, even in a congregation, even in among other Christians, that maybe you don't see things exactly like someone else sees them. And maybe that's causing some friction. You know what our responsibility is to do? Not to think of our opinion more highly than we ought to think. Maybe the Lord has shown us some things. Maybe the Lord has given us some understanding that He has not given other people. Our responsibility is to pray for those people that the Lord would give them the level of understanding that they need. Well, the Lord allows things to happen to us. He allows things to go against the way that we may have determined that they should go. The Lord allows these things to happen, not for the other person, as we often say. It is for us. There is something in it that the Lord wants to get to us. I have to learn how to submit myself one to another. Not everything that happens just because you may be the head of something. Look at our president, the president of the United States. The Congress and all of the legislative branches are supposed to work in the best interest of our nation. But what do we find there? We find that there's always some kind of, and of course, this is the worldly kingdom. We're not talking about a heavenly kingdom, but what we're talking about, it is supposed to work together as one. And so we have here the Republicans pulling against the Democrats, and the Democrats pulling against the Republicans. Lord, have mercy on us. That's not working as one. But what we find out, things cannot get done until they begin to work as one unit. And in the same way, what we find, there should be no politics in the church. This is not the place for politics. We don't do it just because this is what the majority wants. We follow what it is that the Lord would have us to do. Lord, it is not my will. It is not your will. It is not the will of the congregation. It is the will of God. Lord, if you show me, you show us what your will make our will yours. And we'll be one. That's how we become one. It is not that you have an opinion and all of us get together, well, because Brother Darrell is the pastor, we're going to all agree with whatever he said because that's what we feel like we need to do. I don't want you to do that. I want you to learn. First of all, I want you to have an understanding that whatever it is that I do, I'm doing it as unto the Lord. And then you do it not because I said, but you do it because this is what you believe also that the Lord would have us to do. So the oneness does not come because we all sit down and decide that we're going to lay aside our differences. Our oneness comes about because, first of all, the Lord prayed for it. And then second of all, we pray for it as well. And we desire, Lord, give me the oneness that I can be in unity with my brothers. And the way for me to do that, Lord, is to lay down my opinions. It's for me to lay down my rathers and my desires and whatnot, and for me honestly and openly to seek you, Lord. What is it that you would have me to do to be one? Maybe there are some folks that you can't get along with so well. Have you ever had those kind of people? You can't get along with them so well. Now, what does the Lord require of you to do? One of the things the Lord requires of you to do is to love them. And sometimes I believe that our love falls short. I know I've been on the end where I don't know, Lord, I had to pray for more love. I didn't have enough. I thought I did. I thought that I had enough love to be able to go through this and deal with the issues that I'm having to deal with. But Lord, I found out that there is something missing. I don't love this person like I need to love them. They're getting on my nerves. They're irritating me. They're cutting against the grain. Lord, what do I do about that? And so the Lord says, I want you to pray for yourself, and I want you to pray for them. Sometimes I've had to pray for myself before I could pray for them. You ever been in those kind of places? But I had to lay down my desires. I had to lay down what I thought was best. I had to submit myself to God's will. And once I did that, then I saw that the Lord had a way and a direction that He wanted to take this. You know, I don't think of anybody that was more perfectly joined together than Christ and His Father. But you know, there came a time, and we often use this word, but I believe that the Lord put it in the Bible for a reason. Even the Lord and His Father, there was an agreement, but then there was a desire that there was a problem with the flesh. Father knew, the Son knew what He had to do. But He went to the Father, and His opinion was, Lord, I know that You can do something different than what You're requiring of me. You can do something different. And do you know that there will be times in our experiences that we believe that the Lord can do something different and we don't have to go through the trials and the crucifixions that we have to go through in order to be one, the will of God to be done in my life. We think in our mind, Lord, You can do it another way if You so choose to do it another way. Jesus said that. And if Jesus said, Lord, it's possible for You to remove this cup, I know You. I have been with You. I've lived with You. I have been one with You. And I know it's possible. If it be possible, Lord, let this cup be removed from me. He said, nevertheless, not my will, let Your will be done. I want to be one with You, Lord. And so what that means is there are going to be some times in our spiritual experiences that it seems like, Lord, You could do it another way. And this is a difficult way. I don't want to go through this trial, Lord. If there's any way for me not to go through it, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, I want to be one with You, Lord. And whatever it takes, I'm willing to submit myself to You to become one with You. All right? So one of the ways that it happens is that I can't think more highly of the way that I think things should go than with somebody else. Do you know most of us, Scripture says very plainly, every man's ways are right in his own eyes. From your perspective, that's just how it should be. And you don't understand why everybody else don't see it the way that you see it. The reason everybody else doesn't see it the way that you see it is because they're looking at it from another perspective. And your perspective is not always right. My perspective is not always right. The way that I see things, I'm looking at it from a certain angle. And every person here is looking at here. This is the center point, this pulpit. Everybody is looking at it and sees it a little bit different than the other person. Because of the angle. Some have ability to see it straight on. Others have ability to see it from another angle. And this is why the Lord puts us all together. Because what we could do, you could explain it from your angle, but when somebody else sees it from another angle, the Lord gives us a clearer, more open picture that we have to take into consideration. And those are things that we have to lay down. Oh, I hadn't looked at it from that standpoint. I hadn't seen it like that. And you know, I believe that that's why the Lord has men and women. Women think completely different from men. I've learned that over the years. The way a man thinks is completely different than the way a woman thinks. But one thing I've learned here, that there is a side, there is a full, a three-dimensional, I don't know what you want to call it, but when you're a woman is able to see it, and a man is able to see it from another perspective, what we need, when it comes together, that's generally about how it needs to be. You understand what I'm saying? We need to have a woman's. Have you ever said something? We need to see it from a man's perspective or see it from a woman's perspective. It gives us a more rounded picture. So, saints, this is what we have to do. For us to be one, we have to think less highly of ourselves. For I say unto thee, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. And most of us do. Most of us think more highly of our opinion than we do of everybody else's opinion. Most of us think that how we see things is the way that that's just the way the world should be. Because it's our opinion. And so we've exalted ourselves to a level that when it comes time for us to be in agreement with someone else, we just can't submit ourselves to it because of how we think about ourselves and how we think about our opinion. No, you need to come up to what I'm saying because this is how I see it. And I'm convicted this way. I'm so strongly convinced that this is the way that it should be. And you haven't taken the time to step back, prayed about it, and say, Lord, well, there's another perspective that I haven't considered. And Lord, when the Lord opens our eyes, yes, when the Lord opens our eyes and gives us, convinces us, then that's the way that it is. That's reality. Anything else is not reality. It's not the true reality. So he says here, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, I believe it's going to take grace for us to think differently about our opinions. It's going to take the grace of God. Lord, have mercy on me. Help me not to think too high of my... And I need grace to equate someone else's opinion equal to mine. So that their opinion is equal to mine. Therefore, Lord, I need grace to be able to accept this. And have you ever been in something where you just knew that the way that you were thinking was absolutely the right way to think, and then you found out it wasn't? You looked at it and you felt like in your mind you were doing it from every angle and you thought everything, and it didn't happen the way that you wanted it to happen. The Lord had a reason for it not happening. All things have a purpose. And so what we're to do, we're to step back and say, Lord, what is your will concerning, rather than just ramming it through and pushing it through and making it happen, no matter what, we can't do that. And this is what breaks up the relationship. This is what breaks up the unit. Me, I'm determined to have my way no matter what it takes. If it destroys you, I'm going to have my way. And when we do that, and we think so highly because I know I'm right and I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to let you do it. Whatever happens, what happens is it breaks the unity. It breaks the oneness. Now, there are going to be times, and I believe the reason that the Lord puts, we're talking about men and women, and I'm not saying everybody is wise, because I've found a lot of folks that aren't. But the Lord has a way of bringing us together and us stepping back. And asking Him, Lord, what would you have me to do in this situation? When we cannot come, when we hit an impasse, and we cannot come to an agreement, what do? We both drop our opinions, and the Lord is saying, I'm praying that they all may be one. I'm not going to divide over this. I'm not going to throw in the towel, and I'm not going to say, you're retiring to your corner, and you're retiring to your corner. We're not going to do that. We're going to drop it, and we're going to pray, Lord, show me, show them, show us. That we may be one. You know, division is of the devil. And the devil wants to destroy the church. And the way for him to do it is to create factions. This little group over here. And this little group over there. And we're a little suspicious of this little group over here. And that little group is... We can't do that, saints. We can't do that. Had you ever come to the conclusion that the fact that you are having a party, kind of a party spirit, is wrong? I'm not saying that we're doing that. I'm not saying anybody is doing that. But you'll need this. There's a reason that the Lord is having us to minister this at this particular time. My mind is, I would rather, Lord, you show me what I'm to do. I don't want to get in a little faction here. And a little fat, well, Brother Darrell, we have to understand that we're standing for right. So, you're standing for right, or are you standing for your perception of right? Lord, help us. And so what we want to do is stand where the Lord stands. The church is not divided. All right, let's go a little further here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1. Let's go and read. Starting at the 10th verse. I'm begging you. Have you noticed how much they beg? I'm begging you, brother. I'm beseeching you. I'm asking you. I'm asking very politely. Begging you, all right?
By the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
You all speak the same thing. And be no divisions among you. But that ye be not just joined together, but perfectly joined together. In the same mind. And in the same judgment. Do you know this is what the Lord died for? And this is what is necessary in the church. So when you see somebody that is pushing something that you can't, that maybe you're pushing something that somebody can't agree with, our responsibility is to back off of that. Lord, have mercy and help me to be perfectly joined together. When there is friction, the Lord is not in that somewhere. The devil is in it somewhere. Where there is a division, the devil is in it. Lord, have mercy on us that we can see it. What does he say? I beg you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Lord, help us to speak the same thing. And that all, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. There is only one way for that to happen. You, as we have said before, you're going to have an opinion, and I'm going to have an opinion, but the only way for us to be perfectly joined together is for us to be joined together in Christ. But Lord, I'm willing to lay down my opinion, and I'm willing to lay down what I believe. Now listen, I'm not talking about us laying down convictions that the Lord has shown you and given you, and that the Bible backs up. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about opinions. Sometimes we attach opinions to our convictions. We attach opinions to what God has shown us and given us clarity on. We attach our opinion on it. And sometimes our opinion is that everybody needs to do what the Lord has shown me to do. They haven't come to that yet. And so your responsibility is to stand by what God has shown you. Don't back up. Don't say, listen, Lord, nobody else is doing it, therefore I don't have to. If the Lord has given you a conviction on it, your responsibility is to stand your ground on that. But it is not to push it down anybody else's throat. Amen. All right? All right, perfectly joined together. Now, the only way for us to be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment is that we've all sought the Lord about it. We've all asked the Lord, Lord, what is your mind? What is your, give me the mind of Christ regarding this matter. Lord, it may be a way that something that I hadn't even considered. I want your mind. And Lord, what is your mind regarding this matter? When the Lord does that, He gives me the mind, He gives you the mind, guess what? We're going to be in agreement. Alright? Continue. It has been declared unto me, my brethren, those who have the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Is Christ divided?
Was Paul crucified for you?
Paul crucified for you?
Or were you baptized?
Were you baptized in the name of Paul? So what he's saying here, sometimes if we're not careful, we'll break up into little factions because of the leadership. I'm a Paul. I really like Paul's teaching. He's really plain. He's down to earth. He does the things that I can relate to. And then, well, I'm a Paul. Apollos is a little more eloquent than Paul was. Therefore, I'm going to follow him. Well, I'm of Cephas, because he kind of has a little bit of both of them. And it's something, well, he said, is Christ divided? No, he's not. So what is our responsibility? Our responsibility is, Lord, help me to follow you. Christ is not divided. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? All right, now let's go a little further here. Let's go to Ephesians. The 4th chapter, and we'll start reading the first verse.
I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord,
beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling.
One Lord,
one faith,
one
baptism,
one God,
Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and and in you all. All right. So it says here, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. This is a job. This is a calling that the Lord has given every one of us. Every one of us that are calling on the name of the Lord, the Lord's given us a calling, a vocation, and we're to walk worthy of it. And what does that mean? That means that you're not, when you call on the name of the Lord's not ashamed to call you His own. That's walking worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. With all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Now, do you notice how he prefaces this? Before he says anything about the unity and oneness, he prefaces with lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing, love, endeavoring. These are all these are action words, aren't they? These are words that take more than just a little bit of effort, don't they? So, in other words, one of the things that we brought out earlier is that we're not to think more highly of ourselves. So what are we going to think? We're going to, in all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering. That means that I'm going to have to submit myself, doesn't it? It means that I'm going to have to think less highly of myself, and it means that I'm going to have to humble myself in lowliness and meekness, long suffering. What does that mean? That means that I'm going to have to suffer for some time with other folks. Because other folks are not going to see it the way that I see it all the time. And my responsibility is to humble myself and be lowly enough to admit and not to affect my brother in any kind of way, because I love you. I love my brother. And so, Lord, whatever it takes for me to keep the unity, I want to do that. All right? So it says endeavoring, so lowliness. So we got long suffering, then we have forbearing. So when we say long suffering, what does that mean? It means literally suffering for a long time. Putting up. Forbearing means putting up with something that you're having to bear up under something. Something that's not very pleasant. Long suffering is something that's not very, very pleasant. Maybe there's something about another person or about what they're dealing with. And maybe they're coming. Maybe you've given them enough time and you think, well, look, it took me, in 6 months I was there. In 6 weeks I was there. And we're still dealing with you after 6 years. Lord, have mercy. And we're just going to throw you to the side. We can't do that, can we? We're going to have to forbear. We're going to have to suffer for a long time. We're going to have to love, forbearing one another in love. Lord, help me to love them. And I believe that that's one place that we tend to fall short. Because we tend to be a little impatient. I don't want to have to deal with this. I don't want to have to deal with it right now. And you just need to get over it and deal with whatever it is that you need to deal with. But the Lord's telling you, forbear. Long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Endeavoring, putting forth a great effort to keep, not to get, the unity. So it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, you know whose job that is? That's your job, and then that person that you think is an adversary, that's their job as well. You understand what I'm saying? You endeavor to keep the unity. As much as lies within you, you live peaceably with all men. You do whatever it takes. Lord, help me to do whatever it takes, as much as lies within me. There are some folks that just won't let you embrace them. There are some people that just won't let you be one with them, but as much as lies within you, you live peaceably with all men. So the Lord's grace is sufficient for you to go through the things that you're going through. God is going to give you the grace that you need to be able to go through it. All right? There is one body and one Spirit, so you can't leave and go somewhere else because there's one body. One Spirit, even as you're calling, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. All right. Let's go a little further here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and start reading at the 12th verse. Yes, the body is one. It has many members. All the members of that one body, being many, are one body. Christ. Yes. One Spirit. Are we all baptized into one body? Yes. whether we be bond or free. All been made to drink into one spirit. Body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. So you know, if you have a problem with what position you have in the body, you know, it's not the preacher's fault. It's the Lord's fault, if you want to fault somebody about it. It says he's put every one of us in the place that he wants us to be in. Every member, he's placed us there. And do you know, I don't believe that there's any member that's more important than the other. There may be some that are more visible, some that maybe seem to get all the glory, but you know, your place is just as vital. Amen. And if you rise up, and I want to say this to you, if you rise up out of your place, the body is not going to work very well. I remember when I was a boy, I could walk on my hands, and I could walk probably as far as walk around the church. But it's not my feet. And I couldn't do it for very long. I could do it for 3 or 4 minutes or whatever, but after a while, the blood starts rushing to your head, and everything starts not being like it's supposed to be. And even though you could do it, and you couldn't do it like the feet, the hands could do it, but it couldn't do it like the feet could do it. And so in the same way, what we have to understand, God has placed you in the body as it has pleased Him. And He's given you gifts according to your several ability. And you are to fulfill the place that God had, and not try to be in a place that God didn't put you in. Don't be upset that somebody else is getting all of the attention and they seem to be overlooking you. Lord, help us. Because what's going to happen, if you let that seed fester in and grow, then what's going to happen? You're going to be out of sorts with folks in the body. And when actually we had nothing to do with it. If someone comes to you and says, you know what, I know that you really like leading songs, but you really don't, you can't hold a tune. Don't be upset at that. You can't hold a tune. Well, let me be the song leader. Well, no, we don't want you to be a song leader because you can't sing. Is there anything wrong with that? Well, we don't want to hurt your feelings. I'm just using that. We don't have that kind of an issue. But I'm using that as an example. The Lord didn't give you that kind of a talent, so therefore you can't be a song leader. And there are things that you can do that I can't do. And what happens if you want, there are some folks who have a desire to be up in the front, and they want folks to see them. And then there are those that have to be up there and don't want to be up there. I know plenty of those. So what does the Lord do? The Lord allows, there is a work that the cross does. There is a work of the cross. There is an effect that the cross has on our oneness. In order for me to be one, I'm going to have to be crucified to myself. I'm going to have to be crucified to the world. I'm going to have to be crucified to my desires. So there is a work that the cross does in bringing about this oneness. Let's turn to Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, 15th verse. Someone get us Colossians 1, 18. Ephesians 2, verse 15.
Having abolished?
Yes.
The enmity?
The
law of commandments.
Yes. Yes.
Make of himself twain.
One new man.
So making
peace.
He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Now, what I want to pull out in this passage of Scripture is reconciling into one body by the cross. He's talking about the law. He's talking about the grace dispensation and the law and whatnot. But I want to bring in, I don't believe it takes anything away from it. I want to bring in the fact that you and I cannot be long-suffering. We cannot be forbearing. We cannot be lowly and meek and not thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to unless there is a cross in our lives. Now, what does the Scripture tell us to do? It says, take up your cross daily and follow me. So there is a work that the cross does in bringing about this oneness.
When there is something that we are not, in, that seem like it's cutting against the grain, that's what a cross does, isn't it? It takes the life out of a particular thing, and it takes the life out of the flesh, doesn't it? The whole purpose of the cross is to bring about a death there. And so there, the reason that the cross is there to bring about a death is so that there can be a resurrection. There cannot be a resurrection until there is a death. If you're living for yourself and you're living within yourself and all that, there cannot be a place of resurrection until there is a crucifixion and a burial, and then there's a resurrection. And so what the Lord wants you and I to understand, that how we get lowly, how we are able to do long suffering, how we're able to forbear, how we're able to endeavor to keep the unity, is not because we're insistent on having our way and standing our ground. Not, that's not it. It is because we are willing, Lord, to go to the cross and kneel at that cross and ask the Lord to deliver us from us. You know who your biggest problem is? You are. You know my biggest problem is? Daryl. You know the only entity, the only person in the world, in the universe, in creation that can stop me from going to heaven is the man in the mirror. Nobody else can. The only person that can stop you from being what God wants you to be is you. Nobody else. Well, Lord, brother, they didn't. The folks at the church didn't do what they were supposed to do, and therefore I just got discouraged and I gave up. Well, whose fault is that? The folks at the church? Or was God's grace sufficient for you? Lord, help us. Well, Lord, my wife, she just was a difficult. You just don't know her like I know her. If you had to live like I had to live under the roof when the doors were closed, then you would have probably done something to you. You wouldn't have been able to take it either. Oh, yeah, so the Lord's grace is not sufficient for that either, huh? Lord, help us. Them folks on my job, I tried. Them folks at church, I tried. But I don't know. I just can't do that. Somebody told me one time, I can't get that sanctified. And I ain't going to take it. I'm not going to take that. We're talking about a situation where marriage, I ain't ever going to get that sanctified to be able to take all that. Do you know what I've learned? This is what I've learned. I learned that when you get sanctified enough, when you get the grace of God enough to get down in God, where you've lost yourself in Jesus and you're sinking into God, then you know what? The Lord has the ability to change other people. He does. I'm not going to say it's easy, and I'm not going to say it happens overnight. But I've seen it happen many, many times. I got the situations in the Bible. What did Jacob do when he wrestled with the angel? What did he do? He wrestled and he got something from God. He got something from the Lord that he said, you know what happened in that? There was a breach in a relationship, was it? But he got something he didn't worry about. He wasn't praying, Lord, you see Esau? You see Esau and you see all these faults about Esau. 1, 2, 3, I can name 100 things about that man that I don't like, Jacob could have said. And Lord, deal with Esau's heart. Deal with him. Talk to him and help him not to do these things. He knows he's wrong. It ain't what he said, is it? You know what he did? He got down in God and he got something for himself. He got something for himself. He dealt with the old Jacob. He dealt with the problem that he had in the depths of his own heart. Lord, I've got a problem. There's something that's wrong with me and I need you to change it, Lord. And let me tell you, when we get that earnest in our soul about a oneness with our brother, we want to be united with our brother, we get an earnest about the things in our soul, do you know what the Lord will do? The Lord will talk to your Esau. The Lord will deal with Esau. He won't get around a round table and talk about it, but the Lord will talk to, the Lord can talk to people when nobody else can. And so if you and I allow the Lord to talk to us and we get in a place that, Lord, through the cross, this is represented where the old man, he said, what did the angel do? Touch him in his thigh. In essence, that is one way, you might say, he said, what's your name? He said, Jacob. And what was that all about? There was a change. The old man was gone, wasn't it? He said, your name is not going to be Jacob. It's going to be Israel. Old man, old thing, that is a type of a crucifixion, a type of a change, a type of a death and a resurrection to a new life. And as a result of that, there was oneness with his brother. It reconciled him and the two that were twain. Now they were reconciled. They were reconciled through the cross that Jacob was willing to go on. All right? Colossians 1:18. He is the head of the body.
The church.
The church.
At the beginning.
Yes.
In all things he might have the preeminence.
It pleased the Father
that in him all fullness should dwell.
Having made peace through the blood of his cross.
By him to reconcile all things unto himself.
So really what we're doing, we're not reconciling to each other, are we?
No. The problem is that maybe someone is out of reconciliation with Christ.
That
somebody is out of step and out of tune. Maybe two somebodies. Maybe you and another person. Maybe both groups. Maybe all factions.
And so what do? We don't try to... See, we can get together and we can come to some kind of compromise of how we think it should be and how things should go, but that's not the way that we do it, is it?
Well, that's how they do it in politics. This is not a worldly kingdom.
This is a kingdom of the Lord. And so what does it say? And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. You that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight.
Now here, how did Jesus do it? How did Jesus bring about a reconciliation? Through his death. Through his death. Did he want to die? No, he didn't. He said, not my will, Lord, if it be possible, but your will be done. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, let your will be done. The reconciliation happened. The oneness happened where he reconciled all things unto himself by his death and through the blood of his cross. How do you think that you and I are going to come to a place of reconciliation? Whatever that means. That means that I have to die to myself. How many of you have had an argument with somebody? A disagreement? Well, a friend. Remember when we were children? I remember being a child and having friends and I would have fights with them. Wasn't supposed to, but I did. And I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to say nothing to you. No more. And you take your little Tonka truck and you go home. And then 30 minutes later, everything's forgotten. You want to go back over there and play. So what do? You forgive them. And they forgive you and you forget about it, don't you? But you know, we can do that as children because there's something innocent about it. But when we become adults, we cannot talk to each other for years. And how do we come to a place where there can be a reconciliation? It has to be a death. I have to get on the cross. I have to say, you know what? That's not important. Lord, help, forgive me for holding this for so long. And we go to our brother and we say, listen, I want you to forgive me for holding this so long. Please forgive me for that, Lord. And we die. We die to ourselves. We die to our flesh. We allow them to put us upon the cross. Whatever is the cause. Well, I'm not going to go to them because if I go to them, all they're going to do is this and that. Well, let them do it. If you're dead, it doesn't matter, does it? But in order for you and I, in order for the church to be one, the cross has to be the central theme has to be the cross. That we die to ourselves, we die to our wants, we die to our rathers. And if we don't do that, what's going to happen, we're going to have these little factions over here, that these folks over here are going to do this, and these folks over there are going to do that. Maybe both of us are wrong. But the reconciliation comes with the Lord. Listen, I'm not willing to let my brother go. I'm not willing for him to just die out there. Lord, have mercy on me. Help me to do my part. Help me to die. But you know, have you ever been in a situation where somebody's hurt you so bad that you don't care what happens to them? I'm talking real here. Listen, you hear something happen to them and you think,
I ain't surprised.
And the more they hurt, the better you feel about it. Lord, have mercy on us. Something ain't dead.
That's all they, that's exist what they deserve. I knew something was going to happen to them. Doing all that, I knew something was going to come down. They need it too. You done left them alone a long time ago. Lord, help us. But I must die. I must embrace, face and embrace the cross. How am I going to get to heaven and be in heaven with these folks that I don't like? How am I going to do that? Well, you know what somebody was saying? I don't want nobody to go to hell. I don't care who they are. I don't want Hitler to be there. Because the place that I know, the place that I understand it is, it's not fit for anybody that has ever breathed air. And I don't want that for anybody. But sometimes we're they'll know who's right in the end. I'm just going to stand my ground. They'll know who's right. No, they need to know who's right now. And the way that they know who's right now is for me to meet the cross, to die to myself, to ask the Lord, Lord, take this Jacob part of me out and give me the love, change my name. Give me the love that I need for these individuals, for these souls, that there is, because I know your unity is a divine product. It's not something that I create. So the reconciliation and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So what does it say? It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. So what do? We reconcile to Christ. You reconcile, when there's a problem, I reconcile to Christ. You reconcile to Christ, and you know what? That means we reconcile one to another. May the Lord help us. I desire that you'd pray for me. I believe the Lord's desire is that we all may be one. Whatever that takes, whatever the requirement is for you and me to become one in Christ, then we have to do that. May the Lord help us. Pray for me.